Blog Talk Radio.
Hey kids, this is Gonz, and welcome to Off the Wagon tonight. Today, it's not tonight. We're going to have a very special guest, a good friend of mine and fellow poet that I've met way back on a little site called Hello Poetry. His name is Joel Fry. Joel, are you there?
No, I'm not here at all.
The man that isn't there, right? How you doing, buddy?
Can't see. Man, you took me off just, man. They were playing funky music for old white men. I was waiting for you, man. You cut me off.
Yeah, I know. The Off the Wagon DJ is just incredible. He plays in the elevator normally.
Coming soon to an elevator near you.
Yeah, exactly, man. So how the hell you been, brother?
I've been hanging in there, been holding my end up, and when the end is this size, that's a full-time job.
God, man. I tell this is going to be a fun show, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. You're in charge, man. It's your show.
No. It's amazing. I don't know how I have a show. People would say, what's the secret to having a show? Pay for it. Kind of like with me in relationships. But anyways, man.
like me and a publisher, yeah. how do you get a book of poetry published? You pay for it.
Hey, look, you know how many people do? Jesus, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. So where can people read you, my friend? Yeah. Hey, where can people read you, man? Just give yourself a plug there.
Well, somebody better plug me up. Most of the time I'm on hellopoetry.com.
Yep.
I also have a book of selected poems on Amazon right now. It's entitled A Small Token of My Esteem. It's been out for about 3 years to some raving reviews. And it sold all of about 20 copies, so I mean it's going hand over fist too.
Hey, look, I know quite a few people with books. It's kind of amazing when you can sell that many, especially when we do in our genre nowadays. So yeah,
man.
And you are working on a book also, aren't you?
I'm working on another book of collections. On Hello Poetry, I've got almost 550 poems put up right at the moment. And over the course of, I started writing there in 2011.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been on there for almost 7 years now. And, you know, if they pile up after a while, and I got to do something with them because, you know, Elliot's ready to burn most of them. So,
Elliot York,
I got to give him a plug to him. Crazy man who put together a website for crazy poets.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly in his thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, you and Elliot, I know how tight you guys are. So,
we're great friends. He's going to be on next week. We're gonna hang out and have a barbecue afterwards. Nobody will ever see him again. No, I'm just.
I was going to say who are you roasting, Elliot?
That would be hilarious to have him on. But for a lot of people who don't know, probably what we're referring to, there's a website by the name of Hello Poetry. A great website. This is where I met Joel, where I met quite a few poets and different people along the way, and a really great site that people should check out. I know you used to be up at Writer's Cafe as well, and that spot there.
But that was forever. I kind of got sick of the trolls on there, so I just backed out of there.
Well, something tells me you can handle trolls, man. I mean, you've done a lot of things, man. I mean, with outside the page, man, I know that you've played music. So, I mean, you can handle hecklers. Trolls are just, you know, candy asses behind a screen name.
I was house band at a biker bar as a solo act back in the 80s. So, yeah, if anybody can handle a heckler. Acoustic solo act as a house band for a biker bar.
Believe it or not,
it worked. I was there like 3 years.
God, I imagine the stories.
I was a charter member.
Okay. Well, I imagine the stories have been.
I got to tell you one story. I got to tell you one story because this is classic. So, I'm playing the biker bar, and basically, you know, those guys are in there getting guys and girls are in there getting liquored up every Friday and Saturday night, and so the more liquored up they get, the more liquored up I get because they're buying me my drinks. Now, understand.
Yeah.
This bar, the nights I played, this is how much of a regular I was at this bar.
Mm-hmm.
The nights I played, they had Joel specials, which was a little pony glass with a shot of 151 and Coke for 51 cents.
Because
that was my drink. That was my drink with 151 and Coke.
Oof, good God, yeah.
So, okay, so they're buying me all these drinks, and of course, by the time the fourth set rolls around, about 1 a.m, I'm so friggin' toasted I can barely stay on my bar stool. And now, I mean, I was proud of I like putting on a good show. I mean, I was proud of my music back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like I was so drunk I couldn't play right, and I knew it. So I said, okay, I got to stop drinking when I play.
Mm-hmm.
So the next weekend I went in there, and they all storm in about 10 o'clock. Yo, French. They called me French.
Okay.
Yo, French, what are you drinking? I said, give me cranberry juice. But! So I explained to him, look, I want to play for you guys. I want to play good for you guys. I want to play good for you guys all night. I can't play when I'm stoned. So buy me cranberry juice. All right, we'll buy you your cranberry juice. So they did. And this goes on for about, a couple, 3 weeks. Well, one night, I think it was like a Thursday night, I'm kind of wound up at home. So I said, go tell the wife, the first ex, Mrs. Fry. I went out and told her, look, I'm just going to go down to Mickey's and have a couple. Okay. So I go in. I order my 151 and Coke, grab a couple of quarters, plug them in the jukebox, pick my tunes, turn around, go back to the bar. Now, there's 27 shot glasses lined up to my rum and Coke.
Oh, my God.
I said, what the is this? And the head biker is about two seats down, doesn't even blink, doesn't look up. Just sits there sipping his drink and says, you ain't playing tonight, are you, French?
Oh, man. Wow. Jesus, I mean.
And of course, I mean, they went out to all the trouble to buy me 27 drinks. You know, I couldn't let them go to waste.
No, that would be alcohol abuse.
That's exactly right. So I sat there. So I sat there that night and pounded down 28. 151 in Cokes.
That is.
Need I tell you what condition I was in about 3:15 a.m. And
well, you were alive, so that was saying something.
Oof. I lived through it. That was one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
John.
Man.
John.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that deal? Now, for me, I knew I was in trouble. That I've had too much to drink.
Yeah.
When I stopped feeling my lips, it's like my lips would go numb.
Yeah, I've heard people do that.
And that's when I knew that I had better get my ass out of the bar and go home because the blackout, you know, the passing out was soon to follow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm notorious. It's bad, man. You're right. I don't really get the numb lips. I just get – I'm like one of those that has just the insane – well, everybody knows this. But I do over – I'm known for overindulging. I do have that insane tolerance. Yeah. It's a shock.
No.
I have that insane tolerance. But my worst thing is, like, when we're talking about, like, a really bad binge or something like that, is I love to cook before I go to sleep. And then, you know, what's the dumbest thing you can do? Obviously, I think I'm a chef.
I don't want to know.
Oh, God, yeah.
I just took my glasses off, so I don't have to see what you're saying.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, because it's, yeah, I woke up and then had, like, food prepared, and it's, I just never ate it. It was, I just like to prepare it and go to sleep. So, yeah, I'm really.
Takes care of breakfast in the morning, dude.
Yeah, it does, man. Well, it's a little cold by then, but, you know.
It's very thoughtful of you to think of yourself that way.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought of myself one time I woke up. This is not a joke. And this is, I'm not saying this is funny to people. We have one young listener. In fact, I know him, so I know we have one young listener. So it's not glorifying getting wasted or anything like that. But
no.
I woke up with one of those, you know, like those ice buckets like you get in a hotel room or whatever, right
mm-hmm.
next to the bed and my hand in it. And I'm like, ah, it's freezing, you know. I took it out and I had scalded my hand, like literally, like done,
mm-hmm.
like I just got permanent scar on the hand from it. And it's like, oh my God. I took it out for 2 seconds, it started hurting, just shoved it back in. But obviously I know first aid too when I'm,
well, like I say, you know, it's good that you're watching out for yourself when you're in a blackout, you know?
It's not funny, but some of the shit is sometimes can be. I mean, but let's face it, it gets not funny real quick.
it does get old. It got old for me about 34 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. But at least, you know, you've kind of come through that bad. Me, I'm still having all the mistakes and the pitfalls, and I'm trying. So, well, kind of.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyways.
I hear you. No, it is not the easiest thing in the world, John.
No, definitely not.
No.
It really isn't. That's the thing. Yeah, you know, you know you're kind of bad when you go to a liquor store and a dude's like, really? Like, yeah.
What's even worse is when you go to the new liquor store because you think you're being slick so that nobody will know you.
Yeah.
And they have your bottles ready for you.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, that's what.
Which means
really
you just forgot you've been there. You know.
I thought it because I was a VIP member, but I didn't realize it's not the Players Club. Like old Kelly Savalas used to have. That, talking about aging myself. I quote shit that's like, you know, people like 70s TV and people what?
Hey, who loves you, baby?
Exactly. God. Yeah, I always heard what. What was it? What was that show he used to do? Was it Kojak or some shit like? No.
Kojak, yeah.
What?
Always
had the lollipop.
Yeah, the Tootsie Pop in his mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, because he couldn't. I know he was a notorious drinker, but also he couldn't smoke, so he was always had a damn Tootsie Pop all the damn time. But I mean, yeah, and that really pertains to writing too. That's what I love about the show.
Well, yeah, we're talking. This is all about poetry, man.
Yeah,
if we didn't have these kind of things to fall back on, we, you know.
Yeah.
But it, you know, a lot of it has to do with the screwball sense we look at the world too.
Well, that's
you know?
True, man. Yeah.
We definitely look at things from a little different angle than a lot of people. And
to
me, half the fun of poetry is getting people kind of turned around to where you're at.
Yeah.
And showing them the world from your side of the looking glass, soda.
Yeah.
And making them understand that's, you know, that's another way to look at the world. That's valid.
Oh, yeah.
It may not be sane, but it's valid.
Well, it's never sane with me, but no.
I know,
man,
it's one of your more fetching traits, Gons.
I get so, man. It's like people look at me now, God, you're getting your workout. So, you know, when we went from hello, because people wouldn't know, that was really back in the day, that website was really like it wasn't like a gang, but it was a very close group of people. And it was a really great place to be at that time, you know.
Well, back in those days when I first came on, there were people there who cared about who really cared about the writing and what you were writing, how you were writing. And they'd let you know. They'd let you know they cared. They'd let you know that what worked, what didn't.
Yeah.
You know, if you were interested in actually trying to become a better writer. because a lot of people a lot of people are just going onto the website to vent, and that's cool too.
Yeah.
That's what, you know. I'm never going to argue about somebody getting emotion on paper, especially if it needs to get out of them. You know, hey.
Yeah.
But there are some people who want to be poets.
Oh yeah.
Who want to be writers.
Yeah.
And those are the people who I feel get a little bit short shrift anymore.
Yeah.
There's only a few of us around there who will actually take the time to comment instead of just hitting the smiley face thumbs up likey poo.
I know. Yeah, when that site ended up with the like button, I think I went fucking insane for a while just because it just drove me absolutely crazy. It was kind of
I think Elliot set out a poetic fatwa on you.
Yeah,
for a while
Or
you had one out on him. I'm not sure which. No.
Me and Elliot don't get along, but it would be great to have him on the show. I actually made a joke that somebody I said, you know, now. Because, like, I'm kind of not there that much. I'm there occasionally. I put work. I've got work so many places now that I just, it's I can't even keep up. It's like, sometimes I'll go up on Facebook and, oh, there's something with this person or that person out, and I didn't even realize. So, yeah, if people think I'm a train wreck, I've always been that way. It's nothing new. It's just they're getting, it's new to them. Everybody at Hello already knew this stuff. Because that was really Yeah, I did kind of well there.
you kind of cut your teeth there in terms of an audience and. It was kind of cool watching you start to actually refine your style. And I'm not saying that you have a refined style, but it's definitely progressed over the time that you've written.
Oh, it's changed. I mean, when it went from website, if people want to see it go from, did they ever really want to see my backlog of work or whatever, you go there and you see where it went from, it just changed. There's no other way. But that's all part of anything. When you do anything artistic, if you don't change, then it's really not going to progress. You know,
I was going to say, if you don't change, pretty much you don't change, you die.
Mm-hmm.
I started out writing classical poetry. Fourteeners and sonnets, and I still enjoy writing a good sonnet or a good villanelle. I think the villanelle is actually my favorite form. I still enjoy it, but after a while, I started getting more into the free range poetry. I call it free range poetry. Still, it's always a matter of choice of words. It's always a matter of expressing what you want to say, how you want to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what gets, I think that's what gets better when you practice. And I know it's gotten better for me, and it sure as hell's gotten better for you.
Oh yeah. Well,
you are a lot more precise on what you and what and how you say what you say.
Well, thank you. Some people agree. Some people are like, God, where did this guy come from? But I think I was a bit of a
Back to Hello Poetry in 2011. They can see where you came from.
That would be God. It has changed a lot. It's become probably, I think, the thing is, I took off a lot of the exaggerated shit and then just kind of got it down to a bare bones thing. It's kind of like you tear it apart to rebuild it all over again. And that's what I did. And, you find what works. It's like anything with writing. You find what works for you. And then, you keep trying that. And when you go for publication, you just keep knocking at a couple doors. Eventually you learn your market, you learn your niche, and then, you're off to the races. But anyways, man.
Yeah.
So, how's the book, the new book going? I should say that you're working on.
New book. I've got the material. It'll end up being about 150 poems.
Oh, good God! You got the material.
Well, you know me. I've got probably about 40 or 50 of those are going to be little haiku, or little 10-word poems. So there'll be four or five of them on a page. Little breaks in between the big poems, kind of thing.
I got you. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, 150 poems of mine aren't really, you know, it'll, you know, probably end up being like 80, 90 pages.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, it's not a huge book.
No.
I think my first book's like 72 pages.
Oh, okay.
And the only reason that thing's 72 pages is I've got that one epic poem in there that's like 8 pages long.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, that's definitely,
you know, that,
I mean,
one,
that,
that one, that epic poem, it's in the first book.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Eternally Yours.
Yeah.
That actually came out of a conversation between me and Lily.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Wow. Oh, another guest on this show who's been on here quite
yeah.
a bit. Yeah, let's hear this.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to hear this story.
Well, Lily and I got talking chatting back and forth on the, this is back in the day when you could actually chat on Hello Poetry too.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
do that so well. Can't do it so well anymore.
No, it doesn't function very well anymore.
Yeah, but back then you could actually bounce back and forth a conversation and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stay on the line for a while.
But
I forgot how it came up, but we were talking about past lives and some of the experiences we and other people had had. And
yeah.
she was talking about this past life she had as a nun.
Okay. I think she's
and,
living that life now. But anyway.
Well, not, yeah, kind of, sort of. But I had a past life as a monk.
Okay.
And actually, some people still see me as a monk.
As a monk. Friar.
Yeah.
Friar McFry. Or Friar Fry.
Friar Fry, yeah.
God, man.
Only you can prevent florist friars. Yeah.
oh, man.
So we just kind of got jazzed on that one night and said, you know, wouldn't it have been hilarious if we actually knew each other? You know, like this
yeah.
is the second time we've met, and we actually
yeah.
knew each other back when you were a nun and I was a monk.
Okay, now. Yeah, that is
and then,
unique, man.
So I start kicking that around, and so I end up writing this, and I always wanted to write, it's called A Heroic Crown of Sonnets.
Okay.
And basically, you start out with a sonnet. That is the first.
Yeah.
That one sonnet is the first line of every other sonnet in the cycle.
Oh, okay.
And then you start out with that first line, and then write a sonnet off that first line that ends with the second line of the main sonnet. So you end up with 15
right.
sonnets that all bite each other's tails.
That's way too complicated.
It's an insane.
For me.
I was going to say I. Now, usually it takes me about an hour, maybe an hour and a half to write a sonnet.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm figuring 15 sonnets. How long can this take me?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is it's like writing a novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's so long, you have to have character development. You have
mm-hmm.
to have plot changes. You have to do all this other shit.
Yeah.
10 months later, and I was like, this thing had become my tribble.
Uh-huh.
It was fuzzy. It was adorable. I loved it. And I wanted it off my ship.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah, and then, so that made the cut, and that's like the biggest, the longest write in the book, actually, that you've got out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like
okay.
15, that's like 15 chapters, basically.
Jeez.
And so, but
it's eight
pages long. And most people who have actually suffered through it say it reads pretty quick, actually, for the poem, the size poem it is.
Oh, yeah.
But
as
still,
long as it's moving
it was
forward, man, that's all that matters, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes writing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It bounces, these two people basically bounce through, like,
mm-hmm.
10 different lives over time.
Yeah.
Different.
Oh, okay.
They just get bounced back and forth through time.
Jeez,
still with
man.
Each other,
like to...
and they're both cursed.
Yeah,
they're both cursed
wow.
to keep doing this.
That's just Yeah, that's like, you really like to make it complicated, don't you?
It's my specialty.
I was going to say, man, I'm just lucky the write gets done. I'm kind of like the worst at that. I'll write like crazy, and I'll, you know, I'll have my, where it's really going well, and I'll just keep writing. And then, like I told a friend, and it comes, for me, it becomes like, you know, then I got to weed through that, and then I'll be like, oh, that's pretty good. I won't even remember writing half of it, but, you know, I don't mess with the process. I'm just lucky it worked still, but
No, I get it, because going back through looking for my second book,
mm-hmm.
I'm reading stuff. I'm just going through my own poems, reading them. It's like, damn, when did I do that?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. It is a big part of it, man. You know, it's funny because, like I said, we really did, people who don't know, we really did, I can't say enough, did get our kind of, we met at Hello Poetry. A lot of people met over there. And,
yeah,
man, that place, to say that place was a little bit crazy at one time, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that place is almost like that's a book unto itself, because it was like a little Peyton place almost. It was like a soap opera. I'm just lucky I didn't get involved with it so much, because, I mean, I was in a relationship at the time, so, and you know, a lot of us, of course, there were a lot of us that were, you know, as far as being married and everything else, we didn't have that kind of, that mess going on, but man, was it weird just how many people were like, it was one day these people were together and then others weren't. I mean, it was just so much drama there later on that it was just almost hilarious to me.
You ever notice anytime you get a gaggle of people under the same banner,
mm-hmm.
it turns into high school.
It really was like
it,
high school.
And it don't matter. It doesn't matter how educated, how kind or how anything. It turns into high school. There are cliques form.
Oh, yeah.
People get shunned. The whole nine. It drives me crazy about that. Anything turns out like that.
I think that's kind of why I prefer publication, man. You know, it's not, you don't have all that kind of, you know, you just get it accepted or rejected. I mean, that's kind of nice compared to, you know, oh, you like this person's work and you didn't, you know, didn't like mine and yada, yada, yada. I was kind of like outgrowing it a long time ago and just had to move on. But it's got to be, because you've been other places, man. But I mean, I've never personally found another, I really wouldn't want to get into just website, you know, writing too much anymore. But I mean, has there been any other place that you've been to that you felt that comfortable, or no? Because it was a really, it was a close atmosphere there.
No, and even with all the drama, most of the time I took the stand early on that wasn't my hula hoop, wasn't my monkey, wasn't my circus.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anybody who tried to troll me, I just ignored them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's how you kill anybody in the modern world.
Yeah.
That's how you murder people on the internet. You ignore them.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, cuz you just add fuel to the fire. Just keep on going. Although, I mean, I think I was the king of being a smart ass when it came to people, but I mean, I had a reputation from that after a while, but you know, not anymore. Now you can just block people or whatever. So there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of ways to avoid that, man. I'll ask the stock question, man. Who were your influences, man? Who got you going toward the page, so to speak?
My fifth grade teacher saw me trying to write poetry, and she gave me a book of E.E. Cummings.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic. Yeah. So.
And so... that, and the way he played with words and played with the order of words and spellings and just had fun with the language.
That.
And the other thing he did that really impressed me was he would take the root meaning of a word, the etymology of the word, and play with that and, you know, and make a pun on out of that. That was like an inside joke. And that influenced me a lot. I tend to do that a lot with my titles. The titles of my poems are usually very ironic.
Yeah, well, it's always good to have that kind of that sense of humor, man. I think your sense of humor is always great when it comes to writing. And I think it'll serve you really well, you know, because I think the best writers are always humorous, man, even if not, like, directly trying to go for the laugh, but, you know, dry humor or whatever. It always works, you know. It shows the human side, too, because there's some people are just, they're just way too upset to do with
tell me about it.
Being in this genre, you know. I mean, there are a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, poets have some of the best tighty-whities in the world, as a rule. So you got to loosen up.
Yeah, I don't know how in the hell I fit into the group. But it's like, because I'm definitely not, Mark's the beat of my own drummer. That's an understatement. But what do you think nowadays, really, because especially being still at Hello, you're seeing a lot of younger, there's so many young kids over there now. What do you think?
People who are saying they're young kids.
Oh yeah, well that's true. What? You mean I'm not 21 anymore?
Let's see. 48-year-old male portrays himself as a 17-year-old girl, complete with
no,
pictures.
That's not
no,
me.
Okay, fine, fine. Yeah.
God, it is so weird.
I found that one, John. I found that one of yours, yeah.
Oh, wow. Don't tell them all my stories.
No, I friended her. You're cute, in that dress, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I got great legs, what can I say? when it comes to the younger writers, man, do you think how do you feel that the new generation of writers come along? Is a lot of hope for them, or do you think sometimes, like, Jesus, man, this is just, you know, hopeless? What is your take on it?
Well, here's the thing. There are good writers.
Yeah.
Pretty much at every age, at least on Hello Poetry. I'm going with the experience I got from all ages. However, they're few and far between.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to get trolled like hell for saying this, but
that's okay. Everybody gets
I have certain standards of what I read.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically anybody who comes along that attracts my attention, at least with a line or so, I got to go dive into their profile and, you know, dive into their poems a little bit and see what they're about. You can't really tell who's representing themselves as what, but there's quite a few younger poets on there who at least would say they're younger, and they're actually writing in a quite mature manner. They actually care about. Again, I'm a fan of people who are careful with their words, and who are who pay attention. And I guess you can tell when someone pays attention.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel that too? Like if someone's paying attention to their writing, you can tell the difference between somebody who's just throwing. Well, I used to call it pen puke when I'm just throwing words on paper.
God, there's a lot of people. I think everybody's been. Yeah, you can always tell, man. What to me, you can tell what comes from the heart, what's real, what you know, and you can always. Well, it's like anything, man. You can tell. My biggest thing with young writers, really young ones, I'm talking about people who are just starting out, really, you know, maybe they've read one poet. See, me, I poured every book into my head possible. You don't go to a construction job just with a hammer. You know, you got to have, you want every tool in the bag, you know, that way you've got some diversity. And I think the problem with a lot of writers, I met one young, okay, for instance, let's go back to Hello, and I would get some kids writing me just because of the way I wrote or whatever, like a comic book character at one time. you know, you write them and you say, yeah, well, who are you influenced by? Well, I just started writing. I'm not really influenced by anybody. I'm like, oh, man, that's just so fucking limited, you know. I mean, you just have to me, mm-hmm. the more, it's just like with music or anything, the more you put into your head, the more that it kind of opens your mind up, and you want to have the most open mind you can when it comes to, you know, writing and everything else, because, I mean, I've studied it.
Yeah, now, for example, one of your great influences was Charles Bukowski.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talked about him before.
Yeah,
I've read him,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in many ways he was a breakthrough poet,
mm-hmm.
in terms of using, basically using street language and, you know, finding street rhythms,
oh, yeah.
in poetry.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
but in terms of, in terms of just his poetry, he left me cold.
Well, it's a lot of people.
I read him.
Mm-hmm.
I took in what he was doing. I got, you know, I kind of got the sense of what he was after. But,
yeah.
you know, he just missed me. And
yeah.
that's okay, too. It's, you know, you're not a fan of every band either.
Mm-mm.
They may have good
no.
music, but it's just not my style.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're not. I mean, anybody can respect that, man. I mean, it's just. What was it one time? I remember. I think I heard Billy Joel in an interview said, "You know, music's never good or bad. You either like it or you don't, because you may dislike it, and somebody else thinks it's the greatest thing they've ever heard. You know, it's just it's what appeals
exactly.
to you. You know,
yep.
and once it's fun. And I know people mainly know the Bukowski influence, definitely. But I mean, I had a million other people that I, you know, probably. That they wouldn't expect,
mm-hmm.
but definitely the bigger ones would be Jack Kerouac, Richard Brautigan, of course, because I've mentioned
mm-hmm.
him numerous times. When it comes to poetry, Brautigan is right up there with me with being a huge fan of Bukowski. I just love the way that the man wrote and the way how quick
mm-hmm.
he worked. And how different
yeah.
he was, you know. That's my thing. It's just you really have to kind of be unique for me. I can't
mm-hmm.
something that reminds me of somebody else. You know, there's a band I heard recently. I don't even I'm not gonna name the band or put them down or anything like that. But that people say, well, they sound just like this. Well, you know, that's the problem. There was already a band that did that. You know, I
yeah.
like originality. Over,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, they do that really well. Well, somebody else did it better, and then they're just kind of like a watered-down version of it, you know? So it's like, no, you know, I like originality, man, when it comes to anything.
Yeah.
So, you know. but, yeah, the young
no,
writers,
I don't
think it's hopeless, no.
No, not at all. There are some really, really, really talented kids firing
mm-hmm.
up their starts. And
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy finding them when they're
mm-hmm.
there to be found.
Yeah.
It's just sorting through. It's just finding them is the thing. It's just finding the ones that are really developing a voice, that are really developing their own style.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of them, what's really surprising me are the number of younger poets who are
mm-hmm.
actually going back to trying to write formal poetry.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and I'm all for that, only because, you know, if you want to break the rules, it kind of helps to know what the rules are.
Yeah,
to begin
exactly.
with.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
yeah.
then, you know, not only, you know, what rules you're breaking, you know, how you're breaking them.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it with full intention. And
yeah.
to me, the end product is better for that.
Yeah, definitely. One thing about it, man, I know that we've, all the years online, I mean, online you will meet crazy people, but in the writing world you will especially meet crazy people, man. Any weird stories
mm-hmm.
of anybody on there, I mean, besides me, that you met that was completely just, you just thought was batshit crazy, man. Any funny stories about that or anybody you may have encountered?
Um, other than myself?
No.
No, I am. No, I'm honest to God, I'm one of the craziest people I know online. I just hide it well.
Yeah. Well, no, you are. Yeah, you're real, man. That's no. I can remember quite a few. I don't know if anybody ever wrote you that was just off the wall, because I know I've had, you know, the more you push your work out, the more you will kind of get that. And people that are just like, you know, just you wonder.
Actually,
like,
no, I mean, I remember a couple of poets who wrote some really, I mean, the poetry was out there.
Oh,
but
no. Well, yeah.
They personally weren't all that gonzo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
They just wrote some really weird crap. And I say crap. It wasn't crap. It was just.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I look at it and say, how in God's name did you ever come up with that idea? You know, and what possible kind of mushroom could you have eaten? Kind of thing.
I know. It is strange when we encounter some of those people, but yeah. If you want to meet some of those people, go over to Hello. That's a good place to. I don't know that. I think it's kind of different now. It's not quite as bad. It's still like, it's more of a. I don't know. It's nothing what it used to be. It used to be a lot of fun.
No, it's pretty white bread anymore.
Yeah, everybody's scared to offend somebody. You know. Do you ever think that, man, when you write, or do you just go completely unfiltered, man? Do you ever worry about, hey, if I put this out, how it's going to be viewed or anything like that?
I just wrote one the beginning of April.
Mm-hmm.
There was a villanelle.
Okay.
A villanelle about incest.
Oh, wow. Well, that's what a middle-of-the-road subject. God,
yeah,
dude,
true.
Really?
You know, and a true story. Because it was the story of my family.
Oh, Jesus! Wow.
And I had one woman comment that it was too dark to understand, and she felt violated. And I simply answered her back. So did my sister.
Oh man. Well.
I'm not. I don't really. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why I've survived as long as I have on that site, because I don't really write for anybody.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, some of my stuff is very hard to, you know, I've gone to some very dark places in my writing.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, but I think that's a great thing about being a writer is I can go to this really dark side and dive into all this crap about my family and bring it to light.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 5 minutes later, I can be writing this happy, sunny, spiritual poem.
Yeah, definitely.
Because because really it's acting. You're putting on, even though you're writing about you might be writing about yourself, it may be confessional poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You're still just, you're putting on a mask for that particular poem. Whatever mask you want to show.
Yeah.
In your writing, that's what you choose to do. And that's what confuses a lot of people about poets is that, well, that's got to be who you really are. Well, it's a part of who I am, but no, it's not who I am.
Yeah.
It's a character I play.
Yeah.
In some respects, Gonzo is a character you play.
Yeah, well, yeah. Back then, people wouldn't know now from my writing, but that was definitely. I mean, it was kind of like.
I mean, when you were going over the top on your writing when you first started out, you know, and exaggerating, you know, that was you were in character.
Yeah.
And it could and anybody who took it as face value reality. Yeah, that was kind of foolish.
No,
sorry.
No, it was like a, It was a good acid trip. It was strange. You know, it was my wanting to really go in and to do short stories and to do fiction writing once I do now. And kind of dabbling with it and dabbling with the form and the craft. And, you know, it's like anything, man. I did kind of over there, I wouldn't say, well, to a degree, I cut my teeth over there. I think I cut my teeth on life, not, you know, not necessarily a website. But, you know, I lived a lot. And I think that's the key. I do think with writing, like anything, I think that, I don't know. We're lucky about that in the sense that with writing, you know, age, I think, makes us better. Whereas very few things, you know, you get older, this isn't a contact sport, so we can kind of keep going till we drop, you know.
Yeah, with the benefit of all the extra years of experience on top of it, and you know, things we've seen and how we've seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does get better with age. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the stuff I write now a lot better than I did like the stuff that I wrote. Some of the stuff I wrote early on when I was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still trying to find my way around.
Yeah.
You know how I wanted to write and things.
Yeah. So definitely the past does creep into the page, but it's funny, man. You were. Like you said, you were the lead act there at the biker bar, and you were there for a long time. I mean, I've known you told me about this, but I don't know I've necessarily read about it. How come we don't see more stories of that? Because there has to be a lot of great stories, man. You know, because I just I love to reflect a lot.
Actually, there are some of the people that I met that I got to know.
Mm-hmm.
Have crept their way into my poetry, not coming right out and saying this happened to this biker bar.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a poem a long time ago called Pantera.
Okay.
And it was about this really predatory woman.
Oh.
And it was like she would go from guy to guy at the bar.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is that she was good enough at it that even the bikers didn't really pick up on it right away.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, most of your bikers are pretty good judges of character. They size people up pretty quick.
Well, yeah.
She was just slick enough and just good looking enough.
Yeah.
That she got away with it for a while. That she, you know, she played these guys, you know. She played a lot of guys for a while.
Okay.
And was getting off, and you could tell she was getting off on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she was enjoying the whole predatory ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, which is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, guys have been accused of that for years, and yeah, there is something to that.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, I didn't name her by name. I didn't really describe anything she did per se.
Mm-hmm.
Just her overall attitude and her character.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I grabbed out of that and put into the poem.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, there's a lot of the bikers are in my poems. They're just kind of slanted sideways, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm more like, you know, I'm the kind of person you probably. I know people always think that, you know. I don't know. People know your writing, and then they know if they know my style or whatever lack of it. You know that I write, I like to reflect life a lot, and but I know a lot of people worry that, oh, well, I got to worry, watch what I say around this person. I'm not really necessarily like that. Stuff may inspire me, but then it, you know, it goes through a creative license a little bit. You know, I look at it like a rock tumbler, man. You take just a rock, it looks like shit, you know, or whatever, and you put it through a rock tumbler, and it comes out completely polished and everything else, you know. I mean, you have to use that. That's the ability with knowing your crafts and everything. Is like I don't just copy life. You know, that some people do. I mean, some people have made a fortune off of it. You know, but no, not me. I do try to polish it a little bit. But yeah, people always do creep into the page in some way. A lot of times, it's more or less with people I know and shit. It's just it might be like something somebody says. that's kind of funny or offhanded, and then you take that, and basically you take, like, one phrase. So you can't really say, oh, well, they really inspired that one. Yeah, they kind of inspired it, but they didn't write it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
a lot of times, too, somebody will say or do something,
mm-hmm.
and it will remind me of something that's totally off the wall in another direction, but it ties in.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
In my head, it ties in.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can make that connection, if I can show you that connection,
mm-hmm.
it'll blow people away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they wouldn't have seen how it connects.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then, you know, that kind of reminds me of what you do. I think that's
mm-hmm.
why I appreciate you. I've always appreciated your work is, Every poem I've ever read of yours, there's that one line or two lines
yeah.
that does exactly that. It takes you from the point of view you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and it totally twists it into another dimension.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that.
And you do
yeah.
that. You do that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it, man. You kind of have to do that, man. You have to, you know, you try to get, I mean, I don't know. I just put the work out there. You know, I don't really,
mm-hmm.
it's like it is, nowadays it's more precise than it was years ago, of course.
Yeah.
It's like anything. You learn, you know, and you change and evolve and whatever. Now, like I said, maybe I do it a completely different way, but it's still there. Even when you go through the backlog
mm-hmm.
and stuff, it's still there. It's just it kind of got refined. But yeah, it has to, man. It would have been like a train wreck.
It's still you.
If I kept going the way I was. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It is still you all the way, dude.
Oh, well, thank you, man. But, no, man, so what is the part of your – once again, now we're coming up to these stock questions. People say, why do you ask the stock questions? It's because I have to think what to ask. This is a start. I ask everybody this, but what's part of your process when you want to write, man? Do you write at night? Do you write, you know, what do you have a certain kind of thing you like to do when you write? What is it?
No, I pretty much sit down at the keyboard and decide I'm going to write something. Most of the time I'm just working on the craft of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Something might amuse me or something catches my attention, I'll try to write about it.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you're working on craft and you make something that's artistic.
Yeah.
You know, you make something that jumps above just
mm-hmm.
sticking words together.
Yeah.
And it's great when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wrote a poem a while back that, to me, started out like very... I won't say it was a stupid idea, but it was just kind of one of those things that I kind of went, hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there were a lot of people, a lot of my favorite poets write, you know, really flowery, beautiful words,
yeah.
you know. And it reminded me of someone creating a bouquet, like, you know, like a professional florist. Here we are
yeah.
with florist friars again. They're creating a bouquet. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm just here with, you know, I don't write usually in big words.
Yeah.
If anything, I kind of subscribe to the Hemingway theory of writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say it in as few words as possible, as shortly, you know, with as short a word as possible.
Yeah.
So I came up with the idea, like, my words were like weeds compared to these bouquets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it turned into one of my more popular poems.
Mm. Yeah, you've got a lot of reads. Once people should definitely check you out over there at Hello Poetry, because you do have a lot of reads. You knew what you're doing, and it shows on the page, man. And I mean, hell, I knew that from the first time I met you there. I can't even count that far back. But
it was a while ago, dude.
Yeah, it was. So, do you write every day or not? I mean, because I don't necessarily believe in writing every day. I never have.
I did. When
you know?
I first started out, I did because I hadn't written in so long.
Yeah.
You know, I left it alone for about 25 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it's like when I first started writing, it was like this pimple that needed to get popped.
Yeah.
You know, all the pus had to come out. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But,
how poetic.
Yeah.
Oh,
just call me Lance
Boyle. Analogy. Yeah, that's such a beautiful analogy, my friend. It's,
try
oh,
graphics,
man.
turning a phrase in the stomach in the same easy motion.
There you go. We're a classy kind of show. What can I say?
There you go.
I mean, you know, it's weird, man, the people I get on here, just like yourself, man, that are really, you know, I particularly serious writers and people who are not kind of as Looney Tunish as myself, but I'm serious about what I do. I'm just not serious
mm-hmm.
when I talk. I just like to have a good time. I think way too many shows I listen to, and I'm not knocking anyone, but there's plenty that people can go on there and they're very stiff, and you know, it's the same kind of damn questions that everybody asks or the same kind of stuff. And I like it more like a conversation between two friends where, you know, because like, well, we already know how to write. So, you know,
hey, look,
it's not like we're,
we talked a lot of writing. We talked a lot of poetry and we still had a good time doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, how bad can that be?
The way that this show should be, man. I just think, it's just like, okay, I've always said with this show, it's like if you're both directors, right, the last thing you want to do is kind of just, if you're doing, let's say you're pitching doing the rounds and doing publicity on a movie all day long, the last thing you do when you both do the same thing is sit and be all uptight. It's like, no, let's just talk some normal shit, you know, let's just be, you know, friends, not sit there and, you know, oh, God, because I can do this stock type interview, but I know that's hard to fathom, but I can, but no, I'd rather not, because I mean, we both know how to write, let's shoot the shit. That's my whole, you know, thing, and that's what this show is completely about, so, but it's amazing
how many people
we can get on here.
I'm afraid you've done it again.
Oh, yeah, well, there you go. Good. So you worked a biker bar, man. Were you into motorcycles? Were you riding one or not?
No.
Really? Never?
Nope. Just a fat ass middle class boy playing acoustic guitar in a biker bar.
That is so. And so
my brother was a biker.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I knew the lifestyle because my brother was a biker. I just never got into it.
Oh, okay. I love bikes, man. But, yeah, no. that's a great combination, too. Like, yeah, booze and two wheels. That's, yeah, not smart.
Yeah, that
but,
works.
You know.
Yeah, that's...
I mean.
Anyhow.
Yeah, no, not a good combination, man. But, No, man, seriously. Like, so were you doing a lot of covers or original material when you were playing?
I was doing mostly covers. Did some of my original stuff got out there.
Okay. Yeah, I know you got them online.
I got an album out hiding around there somewhere.
Well, so you got to plug those things to mention those things.
It's an album called Adrift. It's on soundclick.com.
Okay.
And, available for sale at your local computer in MP3 format.
Yeah, everything is online now, man. You know, I think it's just a lot in some ways, man. You know, what do you think? So we're going to go on to a tangent about music, obviously, but I love music, man. Are you a music freak? I guess that's pretty much a yes without asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I studied classical music when I went to college the first time. When I dragged myself out of Fredonia State. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus! Wow. That's interesting, man.
I was a tuba major.
Really? Really?
Yeah. And I wanted to be a conductor.
It just didn't pan out, huh?
Oh, I panned out just fine. What happened to us? I got the gig at the Ratskeller at college because I had a PA system. So I got to run the folky night. I got to run the open mic.
Okay.
And for consideration of running the open mic, I got two gigs a month at a hot $30 a night. And basically all the beer I could drink anytime I walked in there.
Oh, man. True mark of somebody likes to drink. Well, I could drink as much as I wanted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it only took me a year and a half to drink myself out of college, so I thought I did pretty well.
Wow. I mean, most people don't drink themselves out of the college. I thought most people go to college to drink. It seems like it.
Well, there are the ones who do that and still manage to get to class.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No, I definitely, I can say that, organization and drinking really should not go hand in hand. But some people do it. They're functional, but they're still drunk. Always love it. You know, it's like, what was the old joke Robin Williams used to say? You know, he used to laugh about that because he definitely had a lot of issues. God rest his soul. But he used to joke that, you know, some people call themselves a functional drunk. He said, yeah, that's a laugh because, you know, it's like being a paraplegic lap dancer. You can do it, but it's still a fucking challenge. You know?
I like it.
It was that, you know, that guy cracked me up, man. And, you know, but, I hate to say it, man, but do you think, man, when it comes to the page, you think sometimes having those demons and stuff like that and the addictions and things like that, it helps almost? Because it always gives you a whole, just a different dimension, you know, to write. I think most people who do write are kind of fucked up in some sense.
Well, yeah, but just because you start out that way doesn't mean you have to end up that way.
No.
And the thing is that I've still got, I've been sober for almost 34 years now.
No, that's amazing, man.
But I've still got the screwed up brain.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that I don't have to, it's kind of like having the voices in your head, but finding out that you don't have to listen to them all the time.
That's always a good thing to learn. You don't have to listen to them.
But you can hear them.
Yeah.
And they come up with, like they say, they come up with some really cool ideas sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I have to follow them to the ends of the earth.
That's very true. Yeah.
You know, I can listen to them. I can take their counsel.
Yeah,
but I don't.
Not listening,
but though. I don't have to do everything they say.
Yeah, yeah.
And
man,
I guess that was the jumping off point for me, is to find out that I could still have fun, I could still be crazy, but I didn't have to act insane.
You will get crazier sober. If people want to know that when you do go sober, you will be crazier. You know, you'll definitely be more productive, but.
Well, no, I can't say that. I am more sane today than I ever was.
Yeah.
But just because I'm more sane today doesn't mean I can't go back and tap into the crazy when I want to. It's a choice today. It's a choice today.
Yeah.
I get to choose to tap into the crazy instead of just being there.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I definitely with a lot of writers and stuff like that, that just seems to be a real big problem, a big pitfall.
Some of them never get to the point where it's a choice.
No, yeah, it's,
no. Some of them get stuck being there.
Yeah, yeah,
that's sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, God mentioned Hemingway, greatest writer.
You mentioned Robin Williams. You mentioned Robin Williams. He got stuck there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I think, you know, the funny thing is, go ahead, man.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
No, I remember watching a thing on Ron White one time, who definitely likes to drink, a comedian. And he mentioned he only met Robin Williams one time, but that he felt like he never really met Robin Williams because the whole time the guy was on. You know, like he like almost not being comfortable in your own skin. Because there are some people who knew him really well. I think Bobcat Goldthwait is a guy that who's moved on to directing, but was a comedian for a long time. Knew him probably best.
Bobcat Goldthwait is a cousin of mine from marriage.
Are you kidding me? Really?
No, we grew up together in Syracuse.
Oh my God! I had no. Once again, I had
he's
no
my
clue.
He's my he was my he was my aunt's cousin. Where is my aunt's cousin? My aunt's passed, but
yeah. Well, he's another incredible guy who's went completely a different direction from being, you know, the comedian now who's now a director. So it's like, you know, it's fucking, you know, he was one guy that talked about Robin knew him the best when, you know, they talked about how Robin was. And very few people, I don't think, really did know Robin Williams. But I think he always had that thing in him that he always had to make everybody happy. But he forgot, you know, in the meanwhile, to make
everybody
himself
but himself.
You know?
Yeah.
That's sad because it was a that's another big, huge influence. I always loved Robin Williams because he was I talk about a guy being on.
Yeah.
He was a guy you couldn't make go off. You know, he you turn the light switch on and it just fade on. You know, he was just he was just crazy, but a great improv guy. Just could just, you know. And that was fucking
him and
amazing.
Him and Jonathan Winters. You put him and Jonathan Winters on the same stage.
Yeah.
That was insanity.
Yeah. Jonathan Winters was I always love people that can kind of just wing it off the top of their head. That's why, you know, not comparing, but just like with humor or anything, I just think that it's better not to have like a set act. It's better to kind of, you know, if you have there's some people, man, that are so stiff. I remember I used to DJ, and the guy that I worked for at the time, the guy who was running the company, was the most uptight dude. He would set up his program. This is for being a bar jockey. We're playing bars. And he would take like a week to set up his programs that he was, you know, what he was going to play. And I told him, you have to feel a room, man. As you know, man, playing music, you have to, it's an energy. And you get what the people you can't just say that it's not a computer program. It's not, you know, it's not, it's also not science. It's a vibe, man. And if people are having fun, you feed them more good times. And if they're kind of wanting to be mellow, you slow it down. And I think that music, you know, music and writing all go hand in hand, you know. But
I auditioned at this place one time when I was playing in Syracuse.
Yeah.
And it was this really nice bar. It was a really nice restaurant and bar. And, you know, kind of a prestige place to play. And I go in there and at the time I would give people an hour's live audition.
Yeah.
You know, this is before the days of CDs and tapes and all this good shit.
Yeah.
So I'd say, okay, let me come in at an off time and I'll play you a set. So I go in there and, you know, most of the time I'm playing, but I've also got a little patter going on, you know, it's, you know, just playing the room, like you're saying. And I start ribbing the servers, give the bartender a hard time, things like, you know, just little things like that, keep going at it. Now, after about half an hour, I've got the place cracking up at my audition. I'm saying, cool, I got this gig.
Yeah.
So sure enough, they hire me for like 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday nights, good pay. I walk up that first Friday night, big sign out in front. Tonight, Joel Fry, comedy and music. And I said, oh, man.
Wow, you were a little too good, man. They thought you were like one of those comedy acts that has a guitar.
Which, of course, meant that I failed. Anything I tried that night fell flat on its face because people are saying, okay, make me laugh.
Yeah, no. That's,
instead of sneaking up on him with the song, you know?
Yeah, that's so bad. I mean, it's great that you have a good enough sense of humor and you're quick on your feet, man. it's great that you had a good enough sense of humor to make people think, wow, this is what he's doing. It's a comedy act. But it's like, no. Because comedy,
no, don't bill me that way.
No, this is speaking from knowledge. A comedy audience is really one of the worst crowds.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but it's the fucking truth. Comedy clubs, if people want to know, not from like what you see on TV with the, you know, because they fill these places when they do these specials and everything. And it's, you know, some of these people, of course, they have huge followings and stuff, but not all of them. And when you watch like a normal comedy club, like, I don't know, Jack's Road Shack somewhere, you know, off
mm-hmm.
the interstate, that these people go really to drink. And usually when you get up there, they fucking hate you. There's so many people now that pride themselves on just being hecklers, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're fucking jackasses. They really are. And comedy clubs are some of the worst. I mean, when it comes to, you know, how people act, and they're just rude as shit, you know.
Yeah, I know. I tried stand up a couple of times. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, man.
I sat back down.
How was that experience?
I sat back down.
Yeah. God, would. Well, everybody has. Everybody bombs and everything. That's the thing that I don't know why. God, you could do a whole special on stand up, but I mean, yeah. You're going to have some crowds you kill one night, or then, you know, then another night. They just don't care. You know, you're not
mm-hmm.
their style. They're not. They don't like it. They don't like you. You know, but I'm more like insult. So, you know, I don't. It works better with me almost when people
mm-hmm.
are bad. But, and then there's others that are real polite that, I'm not family friendly. Anybody knows. You know my humor. I'm not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's not.
Back in the day, neither was I. I was fairly smutty back in my playing days. Yeah. So yeah, when I was on the, if I was playing an adult club, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Matter of fact, I had a whole set of stuff from like John Valby,
uh-huh.
and different things like that. That when I played at the biker bar, there were a bunch of them would come in and say, start yelling for smut.
Yeah.
So I had a whole set of smut.
Well, there, yeah. Well, you have to have that kind of, you know, even when you're DJing, you always have those certain records, whatever people call, I used to call them party records. Just, you know, things
mm-hmm.
that are rare that you'll put out. I remember this guy named Kinky Friedman. I used to have a couple of his songs that I had set aside that would really fucking crack people up. And, you know, just fucking off-the-wall shit that you wouldn't play normally, you know. Not
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be on radio. I'll put it that way.
No.
You know, my God. But, yeah, it's like a David Allan Coe, for Christ's sake. Talk about a guy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Fucking, oh, yeah, I always love Coe. Probably get in trouble for that one because I know he's done some records that, you know, here's a guy that can really write his ass off as a songwriter, but then every now and then just goes completely batshit nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But he is crazy, so that helps.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that was a definite influence, too. I hate to admit it, but it's true. But, yeah, no, man.
Now, after all this talk of craziness and art
mm-hmm.
and writing and all this shit, John,
mm-hmm.
I got to get off the phone so I can make dinner for my wife.
Oh, okay.
How sane can you get?
It was funny. Yeah, no, well, you better, hey, somebody's got to cook.
Damn straight.
No, man. I was going
to
wind everything down.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
And what a professional show. Hey, dude, I got to get off here. I got to cook. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get hit with a rolling pin. Dan. Well, Joel, man, it's been great having you on the show. And hopefully we can have you again on here sometime soon.
Anytime you're ready. Or anytime you think you're ready.
All right, man. Well, I will wrap the show up and tell you goodbye. Thank you for being on the show, man. And definitely
thank
check
you for
out
having
all
me,
Joel's
John.
Work. All right, buddy. No problem.
Take care, bro.
All right, man. Later.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. Well, Joel had to go. Joel's getting in trouble, man. He's got to make dinner. Once again, the life of a rock star and poet. And me, I always make mine. It's usually liquid, though. You know, I'm just saying, I'm on a diet. It's provided by Jack Daniels. I'm kidding. Anyway, it was a tremendous honor to have Joel on the show, and I hope he enjoyed it. And go check out his work. As you said, he's got a book out on Amazon. He's working on another. You've heard everything he's got, and he's a great guy. Also, looking up at Hello Poetry. That's where we met. It's a great website. Until next time, my friends, this has been Off the Wagon. I am John Patrick Robbins. Y'all stay crazy, and adios.